Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs and have some fun.
You gotta give us a shot.
You know what?
You gotta give us a shot.
Excuse me one second. Hey, whoever's got that, turn that off. Just turn that off.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Clapback Sports. I'm your host, The Mage. As always, I am joined by my co-host, Christmas Elf Murph. What is up, Christmas Elf Murph?
Greetings, my people. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. And most importantly, baby, happy December football. Don't care about the record. December football, baby.
Before we move over to Tino, because I know Tino's going to steal my thunder, Happy New Year, everyone, because by the time that you get this, it will be New Year's Eve. So Happy New Year to all of our listeners. So fuck you, Tino. How are you?
I'm good. Fuck you, too. I wouldn't steal your thunder. I was going to say, how glad are we that 2020 is over? Well, it's not over yet, and there's still a long way to go in terms of this being week 17. But to Murph's point, meaningful December football. The Giants have been a part of – you know, football in December, but lately it hasn't meant anything. I still don't know if this means much because we could either become the division winner or somehow end up picking in the top five. So I'm still indifferent about the whole situation, but Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa. Hanukkah. What else did you say, Murph? Oh, and Happy New Year. Happy, Happy New Year. How are we looking, guys? How are we looking for 2021? Are you looking forward to it, Mage? Are you happy about it?
Before you go on, Tina, so I had to show my wife this. Apparently, I was the only one that saw this, so I'm going to ask you guys if you guys saw it also. Did you see the commercial for Match with the Devil?
I did see that. I did see that commercial.
It is one of the best 2020 commercials that there's possible. So, Murph, I know you say you didn't see it. When you get a chance, look it up. It's a YouTube video, right? So, Devil's on Match. All of a sudden, he gets a hit.
Like Match.com?
Huh?
Match.com.
Yeah. And he matches with this girl and then they meet up and he's like 2020. She's like, call me 2020. And like the whole commercial is just, it's funny. Like they're running out of like public bathrooms, stealing toilet paper and everything. And she's like, he's like, I never want this to end or this year to end. And she's like, who would? And there's like asteroids like hitting the earth and everything. So it's pretty funny, but it sums up 2020 in a heartbeat. Tino reminded me of that because a lot of people are like, oh, can't wait that this year is over. I said, don't say that just yet because there is still one more day left in this year. Who knows the way that it's been going. So, yeah, so Happy New Year, everyone. How you guys feeling then? So, Tino, you started to ask about the season. So
yeah. Yeah.
It comes down to a meaningful football game in the month of December, the last week of the season. The Giants are playing for the playoffs, but there would be a 6-10 playoff team. Let's face it, anybody that gets in, what's the Cowboys record right now as well?
So they'd be 6-10, and Washington could finish with 7 wins. I also want to straighten this out. It's actually meaningful January football, but it's technically December because we're talking about it in December, but Washington could finish with 7 wins. I just don't see that happening. We could talk about the Foreskins in a little bit. Guys, where are you at in this game? I know we don't want to highlight on Baltimore too much. The same way we talked about Cleveland the week before. There's not much positive, to be honest. But we're here. I mean, this is something, a scenario we talked about for months, weeks now, that the Giants could be in the spot in week 17, possibly finishing 6-10, and despite this division sucking, we might win the damn thing. So, I mean, we want to win the game, but where is our confidence level? Where are we gauging this?
Do you really want to win the game?
Kind of. I mean, I do. Of course I want to win. It's not that I don't want to win. I'm more worried about the backlash if we lose. That's why I want to win. Like, I want to win. I want to put together a postseason run. I want to host a playoff game. Maybe we get lucky and could have fans at the games like the Bills. Who knows? You know, optimistic. But I don't know. I just think there's so much negative if we lose. And people are still going to talk shit if we win. But Danny gets a breath of fresh air. This coaching staff kind of gets some stress off their shoulders moving forward. And when I say the coaching staff, I mainly mean Judge and Graham, because Garrett could go kick rocks in 2021. But yeah, hey, I want to win. I'm just worried about if we lose, guys.
Well, what's more important to you, playoff experience or draft capital?
I mean, experience for sure. With the team this young, with the amount of first and second year players on this team, even third year players, it's no doubt experience. And for the coaching staff, man, this coaching staff, this is Judge's first year as a head coach. He gets some playoff experience early on. I think that's vital. I think that's important. And I think it's something the Giants desperately need right now.
Would we win 5 games last year, right? 5-11? Is that what it was? Or was it worse?
I feel like it was worse, but that sounds right.
4-12. Regardless, improvement's improvement, right? The homer in me has to say that. The homer in me has to say that because I definitely feel like this team's headed in a better direction. Maybe not better on paper, but I don't know, man. I'm so confused with the Giants right now.
Well, the Giants have to get 6 wins just so we can win the bet with Emmanuel Acho.
Well, yeah, obviously. But
so, I mean, he said that he would donate money if the Giants got more than 5 wins. So I think that would be a victory in itself. So even if we don't make the playoffs.
Not to cut you off, Mage, 4-12 last year. That was our record. So already an improvement. Already an improvement, boys.
You guys remember when I was doing like the 17-34 or something in the fourth quarter blowouts for this team? I'm feeling like that again, man. Like those fourth quarter losses that we've had over the last 3 fucking years are such a difference maker. But this team just can't ever finish. And we've talked about it in the last couple of weeks, but that Seattle game fucked our heads up, man. That fucked the fan base's heads up because that was as high as we've been in, what, 4 years? And now we're, I don't know, man.
And I don't understand.
Danny played well. Danny played well, in my opinion. And then the defense was the one that let us down. It's like this team can never be on the same page. Joe Judge, Pat Shurmur, McAdoo, whatever it is, we can never click on all cylinders. And then I watch these other games like the Bills and the Packers and stuff, and they're just clicking. Everything's just clicking for them. And it's just like, fuck, man, we're back at that stage again. So I put a tweet out about it out earlier, man. There's no excuses this week. Playoffs Sunday. This is our playoff game. Redskins game or no Redskins game at the end of the night, this is a playoff game for the New York Giants.
Well, here's why I don't want to hear excuses, though, because the Giants aren't the only team in this predicament. Look across the board in the NFL. You're going to have backup quarterbacks, Blake Bortles. You don't know if Murray's starting. Murray's going to play hurt. I mean, people are making sacrifices. People are trying to make the playoffs. There's 5 teams, I think, in the AFC at 10-5. I mean, it's crazy. So the Giants are no exception, and they still are going to need help from Washington. Here's what I'm looking at with Washington, though. I don't know if they're playing chess and not checkers with us, not playing Alex Smith and kind of telling us how that injury is. And we don't know if Heineke's starting, because I feel like everyone thinks if Alex Smith plays, they're going to win. And I just don't know how hurt he is. And it just makes me think about Danny, because, you know, you talk about Seattle, what the hell happened after Seattle that we've hit this point where I'm indifferent about the defense and our offense is just so bad. Like, I don't really have a bright spot. And I think about Danny, because was that ultimately the make or break in the season? Yeah, we still have a shot on Sunday. I get that. But, you know, in hindsight, when we look back at it, that was a season deciding decision. I mean, look at how the momentum has swung since we started Danny after Seattle and where the team is right now. I don't know how we fix it, but the good news is Danny did look a lot better in Baltimore. He didn't run, but he looked a lot better than he did in Arizona. So if I did have a positive in that game, it was that. But I don't know where the momentum's gone on this team. They're deflated on both sides right now.
All I heard was, Mate, you were right. We should have sat Danny. So, but I mean, I said it here on the podcast. I thought it was on the joint podcast that we did with Tap, Steph, and Frank. But I said that the division might come down to Dallas, and I believe you guys laughed at me. And here we are.
Keep saying that, but I've
been
said
saying
this.
Week 17 the whole.
Yeah,
year.
I don't know. Maybe it's in my own head, Tino, but I'm pretty sure you guys
said
did.
6-10, and we're playing Dallas. But the
but
issue
you
is,
said
I thought
it after I had said it, I believe. You know what? I'm
all
not
I know. My idea. All you can I take know it is pre Tino. My prediction was 6-10. I don't know if Tino made one when he came on the show, but mine was 6-10.
Well, your
so
prediction
Merch
was
in line
and,
for win for winner winner chicken
was
dinner
seven
this
and
weekend.
Nine.
Huh?
Your prediction was 7-9.
No, it was 6-10.
And then yes, it was. And then you did the minus one.
Yes, I always do the minus one.
So you said
because
7-9,
Daniel's taking over for game. Eli's ducks, his fumbles. Daniel does that now. So I always subtracted one with Eli. So might as well carry it over to Danny, right?
Yeah. So I mean 6-10. You were at 7-9, minus the one game, 6-10. So that's
two
where
weeks
we
ago,
are.
You're like 9-7.
We can run the
9-7. Hey, look, this was a 9-7 team after the Seattle game.
You're right. This is like a fucking 10-6, 11-5 team.
Tino, I asked you a matter of fact, Murph too, I asked you guys that question in the group chat. I mean, what happened to the defense all of a sudden? I mean, it just
were we just little high on something we shouldn't have been? Did they just play phenomenal with Seattle?
Are you suggesting the entire team smokes weed?
Well, it is legal in the NFL now, but
and it's definitely legal in Seattle.
So is it Patrick Graham trying to cover up the inefficiencies, right? All right, so I get it. We didn't have Bradbury. We didn't have Holmes against Arizona. We had them both back for the Baltimore game.
They didn't throw the ball.
Happened against Baltimore, though, because Lamar listened to the podcast that every time I mentioned Lamar Jackson, you guys came at me for it, and then you talk shit on him. And so what he did was score on every offensive possession they had to open the game. So credit to you guys for that. Tip of the hat. You guys really, you did it for us on that one. He had no sympathy. I mean, they did whatever they wanted. So it's not even that the defense looked
Lamar
bad.
Still hasn't played like an MVP quarterback, so I don't
No
care.
Doubt. But
they
the
came
offense
out
really
and
good.
Stole that game in the first quarter.
9 minutes off the clock.
Game was gone, man. They did exactly what they wanted to do. They came out and literally played us like a video game. Like,
all right, so my question again is, why is all of a sudden this defense look incapable? This was one thing that Giants fans and that we did early in the season was we hung our hat on the fact that we win every game besides a 49ers game. We only lost games by 4 points or less. And last two games, we get fucking blown out. I mean, we get walked out at a stadium with our hand held. I mean... Arizona, fine. If you could point the fingers, maybe Bradbury was missing, Holmes. But even with that, we got no pass rush the last two games either.
Well, it wasn't even that, dude. We did something that we weren't doing in other games. We let them run all fucking over us. Lamar only threw for 180 yards. Yes, he had two TDs, but they were both in the red zone, I believe. And they had three running backs rush for over 70 or more yards.
And then talk about our running game, because you know something? That is a vital part to why our defense is getting smoked. Because teams know if they run the ball and keep them on the field and tire them out, and we just have our shit production on offense and don't run the ball, we couldn't run to save our lives last week. It was pathetic. And I still give credit to this defense. 26, 20, and 27 points in the last three games. We're calling them blowouts. They could have actually been blowouts. The fumble at the goal line. I mean, these are actual respective scores, and I have no idea how. We had 54 yards rushing last week. We had Gallman get six carries, and everyone else pretty much had one other than Alfred Morris. It was so just bad to watch. And like, I want to go at the defense, but the more I go at them, it's just the whole team. You got to help them out. I mean,
that's what's grinding my gears, man.
Yeah. It's on the defense for not getting off the field. It's on the defense for not getting off the field. But if you can't run the ball and establish anything in terms of time of possession, and we talked about time of possession all year, if you don't help them out and keep them off the field, they're going to get gassed no matter how good they are. And they still only gave up 27 points. It's just what it is.
Can never click on all cylinders.
Is Patrick Graham getting too comfortable in the zone defense? We credit him all year long. We talked about how we might lose him in the offseason because he looks like a genius. The last two games, his scheme hasn't really been all that good. they've been getting picked apart. You talked about it. You know, they're getting picked apart in the run game. That soft zone, they're getting picked apart in the passing game. Secondary all of a sudden is losing people in the end zone, right? It happened in the Cleveland game, happened in the Baltimore game, losing assignments.
Arizona.
I mean,
you're not going to sleep on Andy Dalton and those wide receivers, man. You're not going to.
They're going to need to score. I'm telling you.
Boone is not going to cut it.
That was our highest point total against Dallas the last time we played them. It was, what, 37, 34, something like that? We're going to need to put together our best offensive day, our game, since that day. Yeah. There's no doubt. If we want to win, we have to actually score over 20 fucking points. It's getting ridiculous.
All right, so is anybody going to answer a question about the defense then? Do we know
what's wrong with Patrick Graham?
We don't know, man.
But we talked about this in the group chat, and so 100% he's relying too much on the scheme because our blitzes aren't getting home off the scheme on who he's sending. Jabril isn't enough anymore. Leonard is getting doubled and we have no edges. I yelled it in the group chat like 6 times. I was like, we have no edge. We have no edge. Like, we have a bunch of people who want to be edges, but they're not actual edges. And look, I love Carter Coughlin. I love the potential we have on this team, but they're not there yet. And it's killing us. Lamar, Baker, and Kyler. Look, Baker, maybe not as much as the other two, but if you give running quarterbacks like that all day to fucking throw and run around and make things happen and break through the zone and have people get out of routes and get open, you're going to get toast. Now, Andy Dalton won't be able to do that, but if you give him 6-7 seconds like we used to give Romo back in the day, we're toast too. We're going to get picked apart. It's like pick who you want to beat us this week. Cooper, Gallup, or Lamb, because they're all playing better than how they were in the middle of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I went back and watched the Dallas first half, and two things that came out was Garrett got conservative early. I mean, we got up early. We got the defensive turnover, and the offense was clicking, but defense was just gas in the second half, man, even when Dak went down. So Andy Dalton beat us once. He's not going to be afraid to beat us again. This is not a game to sleep on at all, but I think it's more about us than them, obviously. I mean, this team can never click on the same page, and that's what grinds my gears the most is we talk about like a different problem every week that they might have done really good the week before, and this week it's stopping the run. I mean, we got ran all over, and we've been top 5 in stopping the run all year long. I knew we'd struggle with Lamar, but, dude, I don't know.
The Cleveland Browns were without their wide receivers.
Yeah.
And they lost to the New York Jets. And the Jets looked in control of that entire game from start to finish.
But now,
how do you guys feel about that as a Giants
fan? Browns threw the ball 50 times. I would love to go into Kevin Stefanski's office and ask him what the hell happened, because they gave Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb a total together of 15 touches, 15 handoffs. And they were down most of the game.
They got down early.
But you have no receivers, like you said. I cannot in any way make ends of that game. I don't know if the Browns deliberately just don't like winning football games. And that's why I'm starting to get back to fading them. I did bet the Jets last week. For anyone who listens to the gambling show I have, I was all over the 10. They had no receivers, and they're throwing the ball 50 times. I don't know why they think Baker was able to do that. I don't feel that bad about it because they muscled us in the running game. So I would rather, if we look at this week, I would rather them try to lean towards Zeke to muscle through us and beat us, because I think then we have a shot at beating Dallas. I'm more worried about the passing game. I'm legitimately starting to worry. Yadam is taking a step back. We shat on him, then people defended him, and he did play a lot better. He's reverting back. He's doing Benjamin Button. He has played not well the last 2 weeks. And maybe he's better in man, and he's not better in zone, and that's probably a big part of it, but we can't afford to go man-to-man right now because the D just isn't clicking right now. Plus, we had guys out. I think we see a lot more man this week, but I wouldn't be surprised if the same zone coverage. And, God, I just hope they give the ball to Zeke and Tony Pollard, because I think we have a shot if they try to run the ball. If they throw the ball, I don't know if Danny could keep up. Not Danny in himself, but, like, he can't do it himself. This offense, Danny can't just sling the ball 30 times a game and win this game, you know, 30-27. We've never seen it.
But they won't let him.
Yeah.
Well, and something we did pretty well during that 4-game streak was we were forcing turnovers, dude. We're going to have to force a turnover this week for sure. I mean, I feel like I don't know if this is true or not, but I feel like in all of our wins this year, we've definitely forced a turnover. And
I don't know, man.
We're going to find out a lot about a lot of people on this team this weekend, that's for sure. No excuses. I mean, I love Danny. I love making excuses for Danny because I want him to work out, but no excuses for him. No excuses for Garrett. No excuses for Judge. I mean, this is what he was hired to do, so. Backs against the wall. That's how old school Giants used to love to play, so we'll see.
If you looked at that Dallas tape, though, Danny really didn't do anything, and we put together 34 points. And a large part was because of the defense. Fackrell had the return touchdown. We were trying to make plays happen on special teams. We should have had a few touchdowns through that. Danny didn't throw a pick, didn't throw a touchdown. He barely even ran the ball, and we put up 34 points. My thing is, we can't afford to do that again because that's obviously not the winning recipe. Danny's got to throw the ball. We talked about it before we came on. He had his first touchdown pass in like 4 weeks this week. And I don't think like 4 weeks, in actually like a month. And I know he's been hurt, but still, that can't be it. They got it. We have 1 week left, one game left. Just lay it all on the line. I don't give a shit if Danny has 2-3 picks this week. Throw the ball. Take chances. Dallas's line is going to get after Danny. DeMarcus Lawrence, I just know it. We talked about it last time we played Dallas. He's going to do shit. He's going to give us a headache on Sunday. We need to take shots. We cannot afford to not take shots this week. If not, they're just going to come after us and blitz the shit out of us like every team's doing. By the way, we gave up 6 sacks against Baltimore last week, and it was pathetic. Our offensive line has also reverted in Benjamin Button disease. I have no idea what they're doing.
3 of them came on one series. So he was sacked 3 times in a row at one point. That's another good point is the offensive line is regressing. I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
We sure do miss Mark Colombo.
2.5 seconds.
Why'd you have to say that? Oh my God.
Mark Colombo is a genius to help this offensive line together. So we should hire him back. We should keep Jason Garrett. Just look forward to 2021. It'll be better.
Do y'all know what I'm saying when I say 2.5 seconds?
No, because you always interrupt when somebody else is talking, so no one hears you. Go ahead, Murph. The floor is yours.
It's just because you're on this topic. Daniel Jones, man. One of 2 quarterbacks in the NFL to be sacked more than 10 times within 2.5 seconds.
Man,
but hey,
quote them a lot.
Hey, let's draft a quarterback. That'll do it, right?
Hey, but let's note too, because no one talks about this, and I loved bringing this up this week. He didn't turn the ball over this week. 6 sacks, was getting destroyed, came off an injury, and didn't fucking fumble once. But no one will ever mention it because they only want to talk about when he does wrong. Danny played sparingly well this week, given the circumstances. And I think it's amazing that the guy got pummeled the way he did and didn't make excuses for himself and still managed to not turn the ball over. That's our guy. Fuck drafting a quarterback. Put whoever you want back there. Put Colt back there. He's turning the ball over at least one of those times on some of those sacks. I mean, he was getting destroyed right in his face too. And we still have Deion Lewis trying to get in pass pro. Oh my God. It's a collective. Everyone on the offensive line sucks one more than the other. And we have no running game or running backs that could block anyone. And Evan Ingram's a pro bowler. I don't know.
All right, so since you brought this conversation up with the O-line, Mage, I'm going to ask you this. Do you want to see more Will Hernandez this week?
I think so.
I think we have to, right?
Yeah. Shane Lemieux's not getting the job done, and he's also been responsible for penalties as of late also. I love the idea, but I hate to say it, though, man. Maybe rotating offensive line isn't such a good idea. It doesn't look like that. Especially if what Tino said earlier about running the ball, right? You have to run the ball to establish time of possession. Will Hernandez gives us the best opportunity to do that. He's a much better run blocker than he is a pass protector. So I think you got to go with Will Hernandez. The problem is that for a while, Andrew Thomas looked really good next to Shane Lemieux. It's not really the case anymore either. Andrew Thomas is kind of regressing again. I really don't know what happened to his offensive line. We know Cam Fleming has always been an issue. Kevin Zeitler was playing better for a little while. Now Kevin Tyler is, you know, having issues again. I really don't know what the answer is on this offensive line, man. I don't. But, yeah, I think if you're playing for the playoffs, I think you got to start Will Hernandez this week. It's time, man. And, look, on the bright side, I think the Giants could finish as high as the third pick overall if they miss the playoffs with a lot of help from some other teams. Not opposed to taking Penei Sewell.
So do you go with Parrott this week or do you go with Fleming?
You know they're not going with Parrott, though. That's not, yeah, it's not some, an actual question.
For some reason. And look, and I've been on the Parrott train along with Steffi Smalls, too.
Yeah.
But the thing is that he didn't look all that good either. He gave up two of those sacks last week. So, I mean, Parrott did not look good. He got beat on the edge by Judon on the one sack. I mean, he didn't look all that great either.
But now so also, not to make an excuse, Baltimore's D is very good. Yeah. Matthew Judon is a very good defensive lineman. So, look, for as much as our rookies have gone against the fire and have played well and risen to the occasion, the experience and the power of a grown man sometimes is going to jump on a rookie. And I think he got exposed a little bit last week because of that. Again, I don't want to make excuses. We're not making excuses this week. You're right. But to bail him out a little bit, that's the fact of the matter. This is what we talked about when we started. Here's my question to you guys, though. What do you think about Gates as well? And I feel like Zeitler gets swept under the rug, but my thinking is a lot of this pressure is coming from the middle. And I know Lemieux's an easy target, but I don't want to put anyone on this offensive line ahead of anyone right now. I really don't. People could come at Pert. People could come at Thomas, but I don't think anyone's safe. I don't think anyone's play on this offensive line has been better than the next. And maybe they haven't allowed the sacks, but I mean, look, we've gotten a lot out of Gates and for his contract, it makes sense, but I just haven't been wowed by the play, but by Gates or Zeitler lately either. I don't trust anyone on this offensive line.
We've gotten to the point where almost no one's safe on offense. That's how bad this fucking unit is, dude. I mean, everybody talks it's always about the quarterback, right? Like all the talk is about like replacing Danny because that's just the nature of football. But when you look at the entire picture, dude, we should be having that conversation with almost everyone on this team on the offensive side of the ball. No, I mean, we have a long ways to go. There's no vision on the offensive side. Zero.
Well, I'm ready to move on from Jason Garrett. And
have to.
I don't know. I mean, question is, does Guglielmo stay next year? Is he going to be the offensive line coach?
But I don't know. Do you let him get his guys?
There are aspects of this offense and defense for the most part that I need to see improvement on next year. I mean, starting with that first quarter of the preseason game, if there is preseason games next year, I need to see improvement. And I have confidence in Judge with a full offseason to get these guys in shape. But the thing is, like, we talked about 2020 at the beginning of this episode in the introduction. Man, like, I don't know. It's just been a giant bowl of steaming shit all year long. I mean, for a lot of people, for personal reasons, just in general. So the fact that we started like shit, then we went on this win streak where we thought we would turn in the corner. The offensive line was playing well. Defense was playing lights out. We found a run game without Saquon Barkley. We beat Seattle. We were fucking high as could be. And then all of a sudden, we just fucking come crashing right back down to earth. Offensive line looks like shit again. We've given up, what, fucking 13 sacks in the last two games? Oh, well, no, I'm going back to Arizona, so it's more than that then, right? So, I mean, Hassan Reddick had, what, 7 sacks? 5 it was. So yeah, I think as a whole, I think the Arizona defense gave up or had 7. 6 against Baltimore. I mean, and the run game's non-existent. It's just been such a season of highs and lows that I'm just ready for it to be over. I'm done being hurt, boys. Like, I don't even know where else to go from here. I really don't.
You're going to be hurt on Sunday regardless. So
I'm looking at mock drafts. Then I want us to make the playoffs. I'm like, I don't know. We don't have a lot of money. The good news is, as of recently, it looks like that the cap probably isn't going to go down. It looks like they're going to manage to try to keep the cap where it is. I don't know if there's going to be an increase, but they're going to find a way to spread that out with the 17th game being added next year. And then also the additional wild card. I think there's some additional TV revenues that will be coming in because of those additional games. So I think they're going to look to spread that out. So the Giants will have some money to spend, not nearly as much as the top five teams. But where do those improvements come from? I know people don't like to talk about the future, but I'm sorry, the present doesn't look that good.
We got Logan Ryan out there recruiting for us. So
it's 15 sacks over the last three games, 7 over the last two. We only gave up 1 against Cleveland, but not good. Not good.
Yeah, no, 5 sacks a game average. Yeah, that's not good by my
This team just spins in circles, man. Spins in circles. One unit plays great, the other one falls off a cliff. Another unit plays great, the other one falls off a cliff. It's never clicking on it's just not well oiled.
The offense though just looks like an uncomfortable marriage right now though, cuz this is what I was thinking. Do you think because of Davey G, you know, and the whole Colombo thing, it's just been uncomfortable, and obviously it transitioned to wins at first, but like there has to be some sort of give and take with Garrett right now, cuz it's uncomfortable to watch. I mean, really there is nothing going on at all. The run game is taking a dip, and I don't know if someone's sabotaging the other or they're just being petty or they just don't see eye to eye, but clearly something isn't working. And I think it all stems back, especially with the offensive line, it's a large in part, and when you're giving up that many sacks, it's communication. So there is some sort of feedback from coach to player that is not going on anymore or just isn't happening. And then it just rolls through the entire offense. I mean, there's shitty play from everybody. I mean, we haven't even talked about our receivers. I mean, Shep was the only bright spot. Ingram hasn't done anything at all. Slayton drops everything. And we keep talking about how, like, Slayton's numbers might not reflect his drops. Turn on the game. Every Sunday, he's having a drop per game, whether they count it or not. That's costly. It's rolling into everyone. And I'm starting to think, when everyone's that much out of sync, it's got to be coaching staff. And I want to blame it all on Garrett. And sure, like that can be the scapegoat, and large in part it is. But I don't know how Guglielmo is meshing there. And I think to what you said before, does he come back next year? If he comes back, who's the guy that's going to gel with him? Like how is the whole thing going to unfold? Because if there's the one change I need to see, it's offensively, because 7, 6, and 13 points ain't cutting it. You're not winning games like that. The fact that we beat Seattle under 20 is ridiculous. So I don't know if I got to see a change, it's offense, but it's gotta be a cohesive thing. It's not just one thing or the other. It's all of it as a collective.
I want to take this opportunity to not only cut you off, sorry, but to talk about one thing that I think gets swept under the rug and that gets lost pretty damn easily is a lot of people talk about the Giants. They need wide receivers. There's no wide receiver separation this year, right? Last year, there wasn't wide receiver separation either. So what is the biggest difference between last year and this year? Danny threw for 28 touchdowns, 12 interceptions in 12 games. This year, he has 9 touchdowns.
How many yards?
What, Danny?
I'm sorry. I thought you had it up. Go ahead.
So, well, I'll look for it while I ask this question. What is the biggest factor between last year and this year, especially in Danny's performance?
I don't know what you're getting at, so I'm just guessing. Playbook?
All right.
Routes? So
here's
my pre-snap movement.
So, last year, Danny, in 12 games, because he only – I think had 4 pass attempts in that Dallas game. 3,027 yards passing, 24 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, okay, through 12 games. In 13 games this year, he has 2,700 yards, 2,714, 9 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Not good. He's also thrown the ball a lot less this year than he did last year. 459 attempts in 12 games. 423 and 13. Now we know that, you know, he also got hurt, but still 13 games started. So that doesn't include the Arizona game. 263 completions to 284 last year. So here's the thing that I think about it, right? Because our offensive line sucked last year. Our wide receivers was the same crew. Shep, right? Although he missed a lot of time. Tate, Slayton had a big year.
Shit.
Shit, what?
Thought I was on mute.
Yeah, Murph burped over you, and he thought he was muted. That's not getting edited out. I'm keeping that in for sure.
I didn't even hear it. So, but all right. So I'll get to my point, though. And a lot of people knocked 2018 and the second overall pick. Saquon Barkley played in 13 of those games last year. Saquon Barkley still had 1,441 yards from scrimmage and rushed for over 1,000 yards with a high ankle sprain. Look, boys, I hate to say it. Daniel Jones needs Saquon Barkley. I mean, there is no doubt that even with the offense and the play calling, as bad as it's been this year, that when you're going to stack the box or, you know, you're just not going to take the run game as a serious threat, where are you going to be able to throw? Teams focusing on stopping Saquon Barkley last year helped open up that passing game. That's what kept wide receivers open. A lot of man coverage, one-on-one, or zone blitz that, or zone pass defense that had to account for the run. You don't have that this year. And I know you don't take a quarterback with the second overall pick, and that's fine. People can argue the value, positional value. I get it. I'm not going to argue that point anymore. I'm talking about the players that we have on our team, and Daniel Jones needs Saquon Barkley in that lineup.
But why do you hate to say it? See, like, I don't hate to say that because he's without a doubt our most explosive and dynamic and essential offensive playmaker. Losing him is everything to this offense. I think we got caught up in
it. I hate to say only because I'm on Twitter more than you. I see the 8%.
That's fair. Okay. That's very fair. But, like, I think to just someone who I guess isn't caught up in all the hate, it's like, I don't hate to say it because I don't think it takes a genius to look at this team and look at this roster and see that Saquon's the best offensive player that we have. So when you lose him, you know, it's going to take a dip. But again, this is a weird season. People have lost players. No one's making excuses. So I think we got caught up in the fact that our offensive line started playing better and we were getting something out of Goleman. And I think, yeah, you know, there's a direct correlation with Danny struggling this season because he doesn't really have the help with Saquon. But I also feel like they're not putting Danny in a position to succeed more often than not. That's something we talked about on this show often, at least I do. And another part of it right now is that Danny can't move. So they're going to stack the box. And sure, Goleman isn't explosive, but if Danny can't use his legs, the other part of it is what is he going to do? Because that is a big part of his game this year that has taken a huge step and has proven to be very successful and vital if this offense is going to succeed. And he hasn't run the ball any of the last two games he started. Yeah, they're nursing him back. But, like, are we going to see that this week?
Because I don't want that, man. I don't want that. I know it's a great addition to his game, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I want this man to throw the fucking ball before he does that.
Yeah.
I love that we've implemented that into the game. Bootlegs, RPO, all that stuff. RPO is going to be, hopefully, we've been waiting for it with Saquon. Hopefully, we'll get that day one day. But I don't want that, man. I want this man to do what he does best, and I want him to use his arm. I get what you're saying, and I know it's what's made this offense go this year, for sure. No doubt. That's the horse we've ridden. But I don't want Danny to be thought of like as a mobile quarterback. I want that to be something that he can use in his arsenal, in his bag. I see where you're going, man, but like, I just want Danny to do what Danny wants to do. And I'm with you. I don't feel like they're letting him do what he wants to do. He wants to sling the rock. You could see it last week. You could fucking see it. That's what he wants to do. He wants to sling it. And it doesn't make sense to me.
The only way I could see them, Murph, but they're not going to let him do that. Look, at least for this week, I think they're going to at least try it because we don't have another choice. Moving forward, I agree with you because you also don't keep a quarterback healthy by doing that. Especially a guy that playing the way Danny does, he doesn't necessarily slide the best. He kind of has the Eli, you know, flop and fold type of thing. He lands very awkwardly. If he gets hit on his back one time too many, it's going to get bad. So I'm here with you on that. And I love the Danny Dimes complex more than anyone. I was at Danny's debut in preseason. He went 5 for 5, all passes, dished it out through a touchdown pass, his first drive against the Jets. I'll never forget. It was awesome. But we're not seeing that anymore. And I don't know if it's because of the product of offensive players we have or the coaching staff. I mean, even last year, you saw it, but you didn't really see it. And I know everyone loves Shermer because he took more, you know, chances with Danny. But I think just as a whole, I don't think anyone figured him out. I don't think anyone figured Danny out to this day. And I don't know who's going to figure it out and if they're going to do it before it's too late. And I think that's the biggest concern I have with him, because people are so impatient with it. And that's my thing. I want him to run because I want him to succeed. I don't want him to just stand back there, get sacked 6 times a game. And when he eventually turns the ball over on interceptions, people just look at it narrow-sided. And then Danny's got to get shipped off over bullshit because they don't even throw the ball enough for him to recover those stats. I mean, it's pathetic that his numbers even look the way they do right now. That's not how an NFL quarterback after a 16-game season should look. He doesn't even have 3,000 passing yards. I don't even think 2,500 this season. I mean, he's doing nothing. 14. They're literally not letting him do anything. And so it's one thing that they're not unlocking him, but I don't even think they know, other than him running the ball, how to let him succeed in the passing game. And I don't know what it is either.
So last year, Danny averaged 38 attempts per game. He's down to 32 this year. His yards per game last year, 232 down to 208. His rating last year dropped. His quarterback efficiency rating is up this year. So his completion percentage is actually higher, but his touchdown percentage is down because he only has 9 on 423 attempts, when last year he had 24 on 459 attempts. So, but I'm with you, though, Tino. I think my biggest problem on watching Danny is it looks like it's as if the coach is in his ear the entire time. So we see that he's at the line. He's able to take command of the line, right, calling the audibles, calling out who the mic is, calling protections. But still, after that ball was snapped, it looks like they're only giving him a half a field to read. And I have a problem with that. I just do. A guy that went to Duke University isn't a dummy. I mean, this guy is smart enough. You got to give him more on his plate. And Joe Judge came out and said that he's made things more difficult this year for Daniel Jones. Look, I love Joe Judge, but I'm sorry. In a year like this, I'm trying to maybe make things easier for my quarterback, not tougher. I get it that he's doing it from a teaching standpoint or teaching perspective. Probably wrong choice of words. It's nothing that anybody wants to hear. We know that Danny's a bright kid. Danny can figure this out. But I'm with you, though, Tino. Danny needs a third year because you have no idea what type of quarterback he is. There couldn't be two more polar opposites on contrasting seasons than there have been from last year to this year. And I feel like it's the coaching staff. They're in his ear telling him to be cautious about turning over the ball, make the right reads, and he's overthinking it. You're a coach, Tino. I played the defensive side of the ball, man. When I watch that game, I can see Danny's head spinning a mile a minute. He's overthinking everything. Last year, it looked like that kid didn't have a care in the world. He just came out playing football. He was just reading what he saw on the field. Everything that you saw last year, I give more credit to Daniel Jones than I do Pat Shermer. That was just a kid out there playing football. He was just slinging it.
That was him at Duke, Mage. That was him at Duke. If you put on his Duke tape, you know, people shit on him when he was at Duke, but that's because his numbers didn't translate because everyone on his team was terrible and they couldn't catch the ball. But Danny still put up remarkable numbers. It's the reason they took him. He was consistent at Duke because he aired the ball out. He was balling. I mean, if you look at Danny's tape at Duke, the kid could play quarterback, and it's not the same guy that's there this year. And it might be as simple as confidence, but I don't think it's confidence in the playbook. It's there's something going on that he's just not being unleashed. And I don't know if it's as simple as throwing the ball downfield or like, you know, taking his chances in the RPO in the run game at different times. I really don't know, but he.
How do you know what you have with a quarterback if you don't let him do what comes naturally to him? How do you know how to coach a player like that? So you say, okay, you know what? Great. You draft a wide receiver with a 4.3 speed and you only run fucking curl routes with him. Like, you're not using a player to their strength.
They still run the fucking Slayton slant. That's it. That's all they run. They run slants to Slayton every fucking game. It's not working. Defenses pick up on it. And it's just bonkers to me. And that's why I'm all aboard the Garrett train. And I've been because, you know something? They need another guy in there because this is not going to work. This I can tell already, even in another year, it's not going to work. What's going to change? He's going to get more comfortable in the material. It's not going to make him more comfortable on the field. He's not – it's not reciprocating. But you can tell his relationship with Garrett doesn't exist. It really does not exist.
He's not – we saw changes in the defense. We saw changes in the offensive line as the season has progressed, right? Patrick Graham has made changes to the defensive scheme based on the personnel week to week. Why is Jason – like the same offense we're seeing in week 16 – looks like the same offense we saw in week one.
Because Judge wants to get him out. Judge wants to fire his ass. He's just letting him run himself in the ground, man. That's all I got at this point. Y'all are getting me all conspiracies, theory, and shit. But I can't think of anything else.
And look, Murph, it's got to be something, though. I mean, it would make sense to me because there's no change.
He's not a Judge guy. I don't know. Maybe he has more power than we think. Maybe Jason Garrett has more power because he's a direct. Maybe he reports to Mara for all we fucking know, dude. I mean,
but here's the thing.
Onto something there, Mage, though, because we've seen improvements and step backs from a lot of units, but we see the same Danny every week. That might have been the best Danny we saw this week.
Yep.
From a throwing the ball standpoint.
You know what I always say? They don't give these jobs to just anyone. So. But, I mean, I don't know what it is. I think John Mara realizes what he has in Joe Judge. I know a lot of fans continue to say, you know, that the Giants were touched by the hand of God with Joe Judge, right? Like, Giants fans are still very excited about what we have with Joe Judge. I think John Mara realizes what he has with Joe Judge. I think if Joe Judge said, hey, this isn't cutting it. Garrett needs to go. I think Mara's going to make that decision. I think there have been a lot of signs lately pointing to Judge being in more control than we initially thought. Well, we've been all over the place with how much control Judge has had. But I think that there's a lot more lately, too. When you talk about Dave Gettleman lately, a lot of signs are pointing to Dave Gettleman being out as the GM. They're talking about him possibly taking on a different role within the organization and stepping down as a general manager, or possibly just setting sail and retiring to Cape Cod. But I think Jason Garrett is gone after the season also. I think the writing's on the wall. I know, you know, what some of the rumors were out there about Jason Garrett and what it would take for him to leave. But I think he's gone too, though. I think John Mara is smart enough to know what he has with Joe Judge, and he doesn't want to lose that, and he's going to empower him. So I think if he wants Garrett gone, I think he's gone. But I'm with Tino, man. It's got to be the coaching that's fucking up Daniel Jones and the absence of Saquon Barkley. You can't just give a guy half a field to read. It's not something he did last year. Daniel Jones went through his progressions. I mean, he took a lot of shots deep. He wasn't just a one-read type of quarterback. So,
look, and my biggest thing is, and this is someone on one of the highest scales, but look at Aaron Rodgers. Just look at Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur. Look how bad, and not even bad in terms of numbers, but the play that Aaron Rodgers had under McCarthy, especially on the tail end of that, was shit, and it was based on the relationship. And mainly on the relationship alone. these two seasons with LaFleur, I mean, those two guys get along. They talk to each other. They're on the same page. It goes a long way. And yes, Rodgers has the intangibles to do that, but Danny's not too far off. He has a very good arm. He's mobile enough. He can make plays, but it's got to be a cohesive thing between the at least the play caller or the quarterback's coach and the quarterback. And you can just tell Danny doesn't like Garrett. He just doesn't. And that's just going to plague them. It's going to plague them until he's gone. And I hope he's gone. I really do. And
well, that's another thing, Tino. I think Mike Shiplinski shouldn't be absolved of blame also, too.
Yeah.
Hey, take him out with the dirty bathwater also. I haven't seen any development out of Danny. Bobby Skinner brought it up on Talking Giants, but or on Twitter, actually. He likes Ken Dorsey because of what he did in terms of the development there with Cam Newton in his MVP season. And, you know, what Ken Dorsey is doing now as well with Josh Allen. I mean, I think that Joe Judge is going to want more experience, especially with Danny heading into his third year as the OC. But, I mean, if he were somehow, and I don't think he would, but if the Giants could pry him away to come here and be the quarterback's coach, that would certainly be interesting. Daboll's another name that the Giants had threw around. So they have that connection there with Buffalo and Bean and Gettleman. But we'll see. I mean, if the Giants ran a scheme that was more like Cleveland's, I think that would fit exactly what we want to do. They have that run-first mentality with a vertical passing offense. I mean, that would be something that I would like to see the Giants instill. Pat Shurmur wanted Kevin Stefanski to come here as his OC, and he was blocked. So maybe the Giants pick somebody off of that coaching tree next. I don't know, but Jason Garrett's got to go, guys.
Let's talk Redskins a little bit. How we feel about them?
Your home team.
My home team, the Foreskins. Alex Smith didn't practice today. I was reading that this injury is going to be a lot harder for him to recover from because of all the loss of muscle in that leg.
Yeah, he has a calf.
And calves are tricky as it is. So I don't really think it's out of the world to say that he's not that available on Sunday. Sucks for us, though, because we're going to have to wait till nighttime to figure out what the hell's going on.
I would feel a lot more confident if Dwayne Haskins was quarterbacking on than Hanke.
He'll be
at the strip club on Sunday.
Heineke didn't look that bad. Heineke didn't look that bad.
He looked like he moved the ball pretty well, too.
I went back and watched that, though. I know he's getting a lot of – he did look good. I'll give him that.
Better than Haskins. That's all I'm saying.
They're playing prevent that whole time.
Yes.
So he comes in earlier in that game. I don't know he has as much success, but I'll give it to him. He played all right, but I don't expect to see that.
Look, at this point, they could call on Shane Falco, who would be better than Dwayne Haskins. I mean, honestly, anybody at this point would be better. Let's talk about that for a second, all right? Mm-hmm. I want to do that. You know what, Murph, are we doing the clown of the week? That's the clown of the week.
He's the clown of the week.
For
I'm all
sure. He's the clown of the week.
So our clown of the week goes to Dwayne Haskins. So, I mean, how do you end up – you want to talk about ownership, Murph? You want to talk about John Mara meddling? I mean, Dan Snyder made Dwayne Haskins the 15th overall pick in the NFL draft. 15th overall pick. And I hate to say the comparison because of skin color, ethnicity, but is he Jamarcus Russell 2.0?
Let's go through the Ohio State quarterbacks. Is he JT Barrett? Is he Terrell Pryor? Is he, like, literally the Ohio State quarterback trend didn't die with Haskins. And I think that was the hesitation going in.
It's the laziness, man.
Yep.
I mean, Booker talked about this, right? You have the opportunity to play at the highest level in the NFL. And he talked about athletes doing it for the gram, right? And we saw that at Dwayne Haskins, recording him working out on Instagram, posting it, talking about how this year's going to be different. They gave him the C on his chest and they stripped it. Then they released him a week later. But they used to give Jamarcus Russell blank VHS tapes to watch, and he would come back, talk about schemes and everything else, and they were blank. Like, I mean, we saw it with Haskins where, you know, he wasn't on the field for the victory formation because he was busy taking selfies with fans.
Well, here's what tops it. This is what makes him clown for this week, too. He got benched again. And then while Heinicke is trying to go in and lead a drive at the end of the game there, Chase Young was on the field being a captain, and Haskins felt the need to run on and dab Heinicke. Like, he all he did was run on about 25 yards, pat him on the shoulder, and run off. Clown. And some clownness, fake captain, just fakeness, not a leader. But you saw this. You saw this from the start. Washington should have never drafted him. So good. That's on them because they didn't even need a quarterback at that point.
I feel bad because, I mean, honestly, I don't know Haskins personally, but he seems like a good kid. Seems like he's raised from a good family. I'm not sure. But I feel bad for him, though. But at the same time, you can't squander opportunities. Once you're in the NFL, especially as a 15th overall pick, you better work your goddamn ass off to get it right. I mean, there were rumors that came out last year. I don't know if they were true or not, but, you know, one person thought that he was dyslexic. He couldn't read a playbook. I mean, you just can't squander opportunities like that, man.
Yeah, I mean, he had endless chances, too.
He did. I didn't know if Rivera necessarily gave him a fair shake. He traded for Kyle Allen pretty early before I think he even had a chance to check out Dwayne. But, so I think Rivera had his mind made up already.
But they didn't give him a fair shake from the beginning. His debut against the Giants, he did terrible. They brought him out there just because Daniel Jones had just did well against Tampa. They felt the need to put him for the whole headline-grabbing game, and he sucked. He threw a pick six. He did terrible. And it was all downhill from there.
Well, Gruden didn't want him.
So, a lot of people didn't want them. That was all a Snyder move. That was all Snyder. That was all Dan Snyder. A lot of people did not want him in that organization. I love the whole Diana Russini from ESPN tweeted that people were willing to throw up in the war room if they were going to draft him. Like, that's amazing. That's just great.
By the way, I mean, I know it's too late now, but Chase Young has looked really good lately, though. I mean, early on in the season, he didn't look anything spectacular. He's really the glue that's holding that Washington team together right now. So that's something else. But also, just going back to that draft, I was talking to somebody yesterday, actually, and they had said what we had previously confirmed, too, because a lot of Giants fans are like, took Daniel Jones too early. We could have got him at 17. So I talked to somebody yesterday. There was a team that definitely would have taken Daniel Jones before the Giants had their next pick at 17. We heard two teams initially, so the Broncos and the Redskins. Confirmation, one of those teams would definitely taken him before our next pick where we took Dexter Lawrence. So Daniel Jones wouldn't have been available. And Kyler Murray went first overall. Murph. For some reason, you're unmuted and we can't hear you, Murph.
I almost like it better this way.
Will you just keep talking? Yep.
So there was rumors out there last year that Gruden wanted Danny. So is Gruden an option for offensive coordinator next year?
If he gets canned, man, that was definitely.
Well, he's getting canned.
A lot of.
Well, he's in. Where is he? Jacksonville.
He's getting canned. Yeah. Unless they randomly name him head coach, he's getting canned.
I don't know about that, man. They're going to get Trevor Lawrence next year.
Dude, they're already interviewing new GMs. They're definitely getting a new coach.
Well, I can
shit, Jerry Reese is fucking interviewing. But regardless, somebody brought that up to me earlier, so.
Well, it's a name that you guys have mentioned before.
I mean, yeah, that's who I wanted last year, man.
Yeah, I mean, a couple names that came up in our chat was Jay Gruden for offensive coordinator. And then also Del Rio on the defensive side of the ball. Bill Callahan was another one. Bill Callahan, you're muted again, Murph. Stop shouting your mic.
No, I hear him. I hear him. Let's circle back, though. Let's circle back real quick to Murph's actual point, and I'll just ask the question this way. How do you feel about it? I mean, if the Giants do win, when the Giants win at 1 p.m., what's our confidence level going into Sunday night? I mean, do we just feel like our hearts are going to get ripped out by the Washington defense just because? I mean, is it ultimately that? Do you think the Washington defense, regardless of quarterback, is going to be enough to slow down Jalen Hurts and the Eagles? I mean, I don't know how to gauge it. I feel like I do like the Eagles, but they worried me. I mean, they got smoked by Dallas last week. That they made Dallas's defense look way better than they actually are. Also, shout out to Darius Slay. He got his first interception. So congratulations for actually playing the cornerback position this year. He deserves an award. He also deserves to be a clown of the week because it took him 16 games to get one interception as one of the highest paid corners at the NFL. Back to the question.
Please. I'm going to go out on a limb and say if Alex Smith plays, I'm more confident in Washington winning.
That's not so much of a limb, though. I feel like that's the consensus. The line right now on Washington, they're 2-point favorites, and that's contingent off Alex Smith playing. That's the vibe of it. If Heinicke plays, they might turn into road dogs, but they're road favorites right now. So that's
what. If Alex Smith doesn't practice tomorrow, Alex Smith is not ready for Sunday, in my opinion. He already missed the first day of practice today, so I don't know. Shit, I'm just worried about our game. I'm so pissed they changed that to 8:20, man. Yeah. We got to sit around all day if we win, wait for that shit. But it's at Philly. It's at Philly. The Eagles have been scoring points, dude. So, I don't know. I think it could be a good little game. I think that game is exactly like ours, man. I have no idea who's going to win. No idea. I'm not confident in any of those four teams.
I think that Philly can beat them.
Well, I think Philly can beat them. I think we can beat the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys can beat us, and I think the Redskins can beat the Eagles. That's how.
Cowboys.
Everybody loves everybody. Season.
What'd you say the lines are for both these games?
So the Giants are even. So the Giants are 3-point dogs. They're at 2.5. They're 3-point dogs at home.
So they're even. That means nothing to me. Anything under 3 means nothing to me, as a non-gambler.
Well, that's fine, but I think that's a great number to play because, you know.
Sure, yeah, from a gambling perspective, sure, as a degenerate, great.
You but know,
from a fan, 3 points is nothing to me. So
now the 2 points in for Philly and Washington definitely means nothing, though, and that's with gambling. You just pick a side on that number, and you definitely want to take a home dog at Philly there. At least
so it's 2.5 and 2 points?
Those so it's lines? 3 points for the Giants. It's gone up to 3, and Philly it's 2 points.
That tells it all right there, man. Who knows?
Toss up. Yeah, absolutely.
They're going to be good games. Hey, if we get anything out of it, we should get some good football.
We need to just make sure Dallas doesn't get in. I almost want us to win, and then, like, I'll deal with the consequence later just so Dallas can't get in. I don't need Dallas backdooring the NFC East.
I'd rather Dallas get in than the Foreskins.
No way. No way. I would rather Washington. They led wire to wire. Fuck Dallas.
I do like Alex Smith, but the rest of them go fuck themselves.
Tito, are you ready to give us your clapback all stacks of the week?
Yeah, we haven't done it the last couple of weeks because we've taped on Mondays, but I have the full list in front of me here. I do love the Giants +3. I know it doesn't mean much to you, but again, they played Dallas to a field goal last time. This is a non-biased pick. I just think the Giants tend to play teams close other than the last 3 weeks. I love that number. They should get back on track against the spread. I actually like both New York teams this week, but I'm not going to pick both on this show. What we will go with is the Chicago Bears at home to cover the 5.5. I think that could be a field goal game too. They got to play and win to get in. We like taking dogs. We'll take another home dogs. Give me 3 dogs. Let's just finish the year on a high note. Give me the Giants. Give me the Bears. Give me the Philly Eagles, all home underdogs getting points. Give me all those points. And that's it. That's the clapback all stacks. The last one of the regular season, boys. It's been fun. This has been fun. And I hope we're not miserable on Sunday.
All right. So real quick, what are your predictions for the Giants game this Sunday?
I think we win by a field goal, man. I don't know if we can win by more. I think we win by a field goal. I don't know if it's at the end. I don't know if it's at a block field goal. I don't know what it is, but we win by a field goal, and I'll stick to it.
Mrs. Murphy?
27-21 Giants.
I like that. 35-28, New York.
35-35.
It shocked the world, baby.
Oh, my God. I want what you're having.
I'm having, or I'm riding a Jason Garrett high. I think there would be nothing more meaningful to Jason Garrett than knocking the Cowboys out of playoff contention.
He saved all his best plays for this game.
Honestly, man, I really do. That was the game that we had the fake field goal, right? The pass to Andrew Thomas.
Yep. Yeah. Well, we had Andrew Thomas pass, and then but we had an actual fake field goal, and it got called back because of Cam Fleming. We had both that game and the missed hold. We would have won that game if it wasn't for a hold, by the way. That was missed.
Yeah. So I think that this comes down to Jason Garrett, man. I think that Jason Garrett would love nothing more than to knock the Cowboys out of the playoffs. So. Yeah, for me, I do. I think that he's going to give them everything he has last game in the season.
Might as well. He's going to get canned if he doesn't. So, or he'd probably get canned anyway. So, give it all you got because you're probably auditioning for another job. I like it. I didn't give a score total, but probably like 24-21. I don't know. I can't see.
Maybe I could be wrong, but.
No, yeah, I said by 3, but 35, shit. I fucking hope so.
All right, that's going to wrap up this week's episode of Clapback Sports. Happy New Year, everybody. Let 2021 be better than it was this year. Stay safe and enjoy. Thank you for listening, everybody. Peace and love, everyone.